Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Gay with God podcast, a safe place for us to share our stories and support one another. How long did we know? What challenges did we face? Did we lose our faith? When did we find our way back home? Or are we still searching? The stories you hear on this podcast will melt your heart and strengthen your belief that in God, all things are possible, and you can be, authentically, gay with the God of your understanding. I am your host, Midge Noble, and I am very honored that you are here. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Gay with God podcast. I am your host, Midge Noble, and I am glad that you're here. I'm always glad to see your comments and hear how some of these offerings that I give you are landing. I am excited when I have guests here to share their wisdom. And I do have an upcoming guest in the next week or so, and I can't wait to share that person with you. Today, I'm going to talk to you about love. And boy, do we need little love right now. And where you can find love besides the Gay with God podcast is at the Wild Goose Festival. So again, I want to remind you that at the Wild Goose Festival, you are going to be coming in contact with so much loving energy. It is amazing to be a part of the Wild Goose Festival, a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice, art, spirituality, and community. We will meet at the Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina, and I would love for you to join me there. Once again this year, I will be bringing the Gay with God podcast live to the Wild Goose Festival, along with many other qualified and interesting podcasters. So find the Goose Tent, and you will find all of us doing our special brand of podcasting. I can't wait to share my guest with you there. And if you want to come, because you're a follower of the Gay with God podcast, you will get a special discount code so that you can get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. So on the show page at empoweredmidge.podbean.com, you'll find a link to the Wild Goose Festival. And there, when you go to buy your ticket, you can put in the discount code that is also listed on the empoweredmidge.podbean.com website for this show. So today I do want to talk about love because there is so little to be found in mainstream news these days. Now, I love to post on Facebook. I'll post every once in a while a hashtag compassion in action or hashtag meta. Meta means loving kindness. And when I find evidence of this, if I see a post that totally is compassionate toward other people or animals, I'm most likely going to post that. So if you even go on Facebook and you do hashtag compassion in action, you'll see a lot of other people have also used that. I thought I made it up, but I don't think I did. But I'm among a lot of people who want to see more compassion in our world, and I love to celebrate it when I find it. My mom said to me one time, there's nothing but bad news everywhere. And I'm like, no, there's really not. And I told her, I said, I do a hashtag compassion in action, which meant nothing to her. And I explained it to her. And then, you know, I said, if you get really depressed and you want to find something really cool, just type in hashtag compassion in action all together, and you'll find all of these great stories. I don't know if she ever did, but isn't it funny that we sometimes complain of lack and yet we don't go seek anything that could fill that with something positive? So when I talk today about that I am called to a higher love, I really believe that I am called to a higher love. You know, being the Christian that is part of the Jesus movement versus, you know, what we've talked about in other ways on this podcast. But if I'm a follower of Jesus, I know I'm called to a higher love. I am called to love my neighbor. I'm called to love myself. And as you remember, you know, you're not just called to love your neighbor, period, or other people, or be a doormat. You're called to love yourself. And if you're loving yourself, you balance that with also extending love to others. But you will not disappear if you extend love to other people, because first you need to love them as you love yourself. If I don't learn to love myself and answer that higher calling to love me, I can't extend without really drying up inside. I can't extend compassionate, meta, higher calling love to other people because I will deplete. You know, we've talked about pints and gallons before. You know, if you try to put as much love as you have and all you have is a pint, if you start to extend it to others, you're going to lose what you have because it's going to go away pretty quickly. But if you are a spiritual gallon and you continue to love yourself, just imagine that you have a gallon under a spigot that then feeds back into the spigot and keeps coming around so that it's sort of like a waterfall, garden waterfall in your garden. So you have water and you have that water filtrating up and through a hose and back out through the spigot and up and through. And it looks like it's effortless. That action of refilling that love inside of us, that spigot is God. So, and it's the God of your understanding. I don't care what you call God. I don't care what kind of way you get to God. I just care that you're connected. Because if you are part of that higher calling love, you have to continue to love yourself and filter that love back up and through God so that you can continue to move that out into the world. And so why don't we have it? If we all kind of can come together and think about that, why is it missing in the headlines of the news? Why is it missing in the interactions that we have with people who are totally lost when it comes to what the Jesus movement was all about? Whether you believe that Jesus was just a prophet or you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus was important in the tradition of love, loving your neighbor, loving people as yourself, loving animals, taking care of our planet. It's all about loving what we've been given and then sending it out into the world. So when we do that, when we love everything around us and we're grateful for everything around us, and then we see someone in need, of course we want to extend what we know and what we have to them. And if you're continuing to refuel that through your practice, through your scripture reading, through your connection to the God of your understanding, we never run out of love. I remember the movie The Shift that Dr. Wayne Dyer did, and he was asked one time, he was standing by an ocean, and it was part of the filming, and for me, it was like a silly line, but I understood his concept. They asked him, do you need a bottle of water? And he goes, why do I need water? I have a whole ocean here. And he points to the ocean. Now I'm thinking, now I understand that you mean that you have an ocean of love, that you have everything you need because you are in spirit. However, the ocean is salty and it made no sense to Midge's Aries brain. It's like they asked you if you needed a drink of water and you're going to reference the ocean. But I liked the fact that he was talking about the expansiveness of the ocean. And that's what we have. We have the ability to connect with the expansive love from Creator, the source of all love. So we can't run out. We always can be refilled. And as we've talked about before, if you're called to a higher love, then you have to also connect to the silence of where you get refueled. I'm pretty sure that God does not hang out on TikTok or Instagram, and certainly doesn't hang out in the news. So where we look for God has to be somewhere that is not full of chatter and bigotry and anger and instability and ego and narcissism. God does not hang out there. And they've talked about how God is in the silence. And if you've ever experienced a deep connection to silence, you know what I'm talking about. It is a place where even if you don't get a booming box kind of answer, or you don't see a burning bush, as we've talked about before, that silence is restorative and healing. And after that silence, even if you didn't really get any insights or downloads while you were being silent in God's presence, and you were intentional about that moment that you spent, things will show up in your life following that. You might have a conversation with a person. You might read a book about something. You might see something in the headlines that triggers your attention. I believe that the silence and that presence of hanging there with God is a way for us to connect to all that is, the wisdom, the deep love and compassion that we can find for ourselves and for others. It's all there. And then it gives us later what we need. Maybe not what I want, but I get what I need, whatever that is. And so I'm so open to learning that, how I'm not always taking my time of silence for wants, but for gratitude and opening myself up for what I may need. What's the direction that I need to go? Where do I need to put my energy? And it's interesting that I'm leaning in to more of the political genre of life, even though that's not my wheelhouse. I'm not proficient at it, but I am so aware that if I don't speak up in social justice issues, I am missing part of what I'm called to do by loving others, because I have to bring social justice to my conversations when I'm in the presence of someone who is being bigoted or seems to have a very narrow vision or very, very narrow scope of what's going on in the world. Even if I can highlight what I'm seeing and reading and hearing and understanding, they might not agree with me, but I'm not going to stay silent. I'll say it in love and compassion to the best of my ability, and yet I will still say it, and I will be clear, and I won't look like I'm just kidding around. I want them to know I'm serious. I think we're all called to right a wrong when we see it, if we're in a safe place to do that. And when we're called to that higher love, we need to be really clear that that doesn't just stop with family. We're called to a higher love to all people who are marginalized, to all people who are lost. And I think that the world now is just so divided, and we have such a small amount of time to make sure that we are doing all we can to bring love and awareness and compassion and tough conversations to our friends and our family and the world, because we're being watched. A friend of mine from across the pond said that their elections were delayed for a while, and she was concerned and confused about why they were holding it off. And I said, maybe they're waiting to see what the United States does, because maybe that will decide who they're going to elect, you know, for their leader, because the world is watching us. The world is watching us be absolutely ridiculous. And I saw this great little snippet on TikTok today where this guy was saying, you know, seriously, that this is who we have as candidates, is that we have someone who is, you know, up for so many felonies and is so inappropriate, and yet the race seems to be tied. And he was like, really? It's tied? It should be a landslide for the more compassionate, loving kind of leader. And I know I've got friends who say horrible things about our president. I have friends that just absolutely roll their eyes at me when I speak about my disapproval of the candidate who's up for all the felonious, you know, crimes that have been committed. And I'm like, how can you stand in any place right now and approve of someone who has been a part of January 6th? And I don't care who it is that was a part of that, but each and every person that brought a weapon, that put Jesus on a flag next to Trump's name, I just can't imagine that Jesus would have done the things that happened on January 6th. And somebody brought back up, well, he knocked over tables. in the temple. And I'm like, that is so totally not the same thing. Not the same thing. And if you dig into exegesis, you will find that his throwing the temple tables around had nothing to do with anger as much as driving out people who were being disrespectful and overcharging the poorest of the poor for their sacrifices when they had to buy it there. So that was the kind of thing where people just look at what it says to them in that black and white verse without digging deeper. But that has nothing to do with him being love. It has to do with him making a pretty drastic point. I don't know if he could have done it any other way. I would have hoped that he could have done it another way, but apparently that's the way he felt he needed to do it to get everybody's attention. But he didn't come with rifles. He didn't come with breaking into buildings. He didn't come with disrespect and a lynching station and calling for the murder and the all the disrespect inside of the Capitol and the House and the Senate. That none of that. Breaking into people's offices, disrespecting our Capitol. And it's not the Capitol is not like, you know, the throne of God or anything. However, I do believe that there are certain offices that hold respect, and that would have been one of them. And I just don't understand why people are okay with that. I'm disillusioned by a lot of things. I disagree with a lot of things that are going on politically. I disagree with a lot of things that are going on in the world. And I'm not going to pretend that those things don't bother me or that I don't get riled up. What I'm saying, though, is that when I find myself in that place of starting to get, you know, shortness of breath and my body temperature rises and I start to speak, I need to really listen to what I can say in that moment that is not divisive, but bind people back together. And that may never happen. I've been told that I have pipe dreams, and maybe I do, and I would rather have pipe dreams than negative disillusionment, and it's close to that. You know, this whole election season, it's close to that, where I'm very disillusioned with how much hate there is, how much division there still is, how many times people continue to be disregarded and shoved aside and ignored as if they were invisible. So I am still trying to find that balance of loving myself enough to stay refueled, extending my love to others, because that's what I'm called to do. But I'm not called to believe in their way of thinking. I'm not called to accept divisive behavior and to go along with that behavior. I'm not called to dismiss it as if it's not my problem, because it is all of our problem. If we don't love our earth, we have no place to live. Sooner or later, this earth cannot sustain what we're doing to it and how we're corrupting it. If I don't love the people who are marginalized and do what I can do in the corner of my world, I believe I'm part of the problem instead of part of the solution. That doesn't mean that I go broke to help somebody buy a house. And yet there's still ways that people can always assist the poor and the disenfranchised and the forgotten, the people who are marginalized and being killed for who they are. We all get to do something about that. It might not be financial. It might be the letter writing we talked about last time. It might be calling your representatives, your senators. We have a guy in our community that I found out last night that every time there is a discussion at our city council that's going to be talking about the statue that is disrespectful to our African American brothers and sisters, that person is there every single time. And nothing has changed except for they put a fence around it so people wouldn't like do graffiti, I guess. Like they couldn't climb the fence. Come on now. But anyway, they paid money for that instead of just listening to the compassionate words of people who are trying to help them understand why that is a divisive symbol in our town. So there is always something that we can do. Him showing up is his way of bringing love and compassion to that meeting just by showing up. So that's a simple example of how we can make an impact, even if it doesn't do anything long term. That's his impact. And I'm really proud of him for doing that. So just for an aside, I wanted to let you guys know that there's a thing in North Carolina called Defense of Democracy. But there's also a Defense of Democracy nationwide. So if you want to go to Facebook and look up Defense of Democracy and join that, they are always talking about, you know, some of the political facts. They're trying to make a difference. They actually mobilized a 1946 movie event and all these different states, because the of which I was clueless about until I found them, and I had already showed the movie at our church, and then I realized that they had this whole thing that Rocky, the producer of the film, had combined efforts with Defense of Democracy to assist them in getting packets ready and promoting the movie at the locations that they had. They sold tickets and everything. It was like this big deal. So that was very gracious of Rocky. And it was also really cool that so many different venues were opening up while they are still trying to find a streaming format for that. But, you know, people locally are still being able to see it. And I think that's brilliant. So if you do feel like you would like to lean into some sort of movement or some sort of way to be politically aware, look for Defense of Democracy in your state. My county was not represented in their list, and so now I'm a county of one, and I'm spreading the word to people that I know to see if we can't get a little bit more momentum in our county. But, you know, it may not go anywhere, it may go somewhere, but I want to stay connected. I want to stay involved enough that I know what's happening, so that when I'm praying, when I'm trying to go in a certain direction to help someone, that I might be able to have a little bit more wisdom and a little bit more oomph behind what I do. I want to make sure that I'm speaking the truth, that I'm not overreacting, that I'm staying connected to my commandment to love myself, to love others, and to put that out into the world in my highest and best way. And I really want that for everybody. I want everybody to experience the ultimate love of someone that looks at them and sees them and hears them and has compassion for them and then does something that can make their life easier. Is it to sit there and listen to them as they need to download all of their troubles? Is it to offer a hot meal for someone? Is it to have a card with information on it that you can give to them when you see them on the side of the road and say, if you're homeless, if you really do need shelter, if you really do need food, here's a place for you to go, and they will connect you to the resources in our community. You know, that is the kind of action that we can take that still maintains our own ability to stay in our own homes and love our kids, and, you know, whether they're fur kids or two kids, you know, whatever it is, that we don't deplete ourselves in order to hold someone else up. We can walk with someone and still help them while we are also still maintaining our own life, and we are still there for our own family and our own friends. So there is a balance. It's not a teeter-totter. It really is a balance bar of how do we keep it all together. And love is the binding agent, that we come together with a loving heart, mind, spirit, hands, feet, our voice. That's what's going to change our nation. And we can find power in that. And we have to do the right thing. We have to make the right choice, because as Bishop Michael Curry says, if it's not about love, it's not about God. So if you see someone doing something that is not a loving action, that's not God. That's not Christian. That's not helping. We can all be assured that if we step out in love with our mind, our mouths, our hands, our feet, our heart, we are going to be renewed, and we will have the strength to make the change that we need to make in this world. So be loved. So step into the calling to have a higher love in your life, in your loving thoughts, words, and actions. So take a deep breath in, fill your lungs up with all that clear air, and then let it go out. And let's remember that we are the ones that are called to do this work. Thank you, everybody, for supporting, sharing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts and making Gay with God one of your choices. Check out our Facebook group, Gay with God, where we do a monthly Zoom group entitled My Faith Journey. Just join the Gay with God Facebook group, and you will see the Zoom link posted each month. We welcome new voices, and we can't wait to see you there. If you are listening to this podcast and are questioning whether you can be gay and be in a relationship with the God of your understanding, if you identify as LGBTQIA+, or not even sure if you're gay, God has always been within you, even when you didn't know it. You have always been Gay with God. Thank you, everybody. Stay tuned to see how you can join the Gay with God community. And as always, you are loved. I want to invite you to become a part of the Gay with God community. How can you do that? Stay connected by messaging me your thoughts and comments in the comment section under the downloads of the show on the Gay with God show page. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen and share so we can increase our community outreach and be a light to those who are struggling to claim their faith. Consider being a sponsor so I can highlight your service in our community. We are all worthy of respect and a relationship with the God of our understanding. I want to thank you in advance for supporting this podcast. Together, we as a community will keep this show visible and our community stronger. Deep gratitude to my friend Tim McClendon of Tim McClendon Music for allowing me to use an excerpt from Interlude 4, a song found on his CD entitled Sundance.